for Immigrant Safety and Empowerment offers a free hotline available 24/7 for immigrants and families facing enforcement actions. The hotline connects callers in English, Spanish, Haitian Creole, and Portuguese with observers and attorneys to safeguard their rights. The number is 888-600-5762. That number again is 888-600-5762. For more information, you can also visit theaclu.org. You are listening to WSLR LP 96.5 FM Sarasota and WBPV LP 100.1 Bradenton. The views, comments, and opinions that come from our interviews, shows, air personalities, and from our calling guests are uncensored, and those views and opinions can be widespread and extremely diverse. These opinions or views do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of WSLR, Fogartyville, our staff, or volunteers. Get up, stand up. Good evening, Suncoast, and welcome to another episode of The Ruthless Truth. I am your host, Ruth Beltran. During this episode, we will discuss the Food for Our Neighbors food drive, which we have going on right now to feed immigrant families. We will also discuss a little bit about Maria Martinez, or Lulu, like her family likes to call her. If you remember, Lulu is the 22-year-old recent college graduate who was arrested in Sarasota County and was sent into ICE detention and transferred to Texas. I was able to participate in an important interview with Lulu, so we will bring you some clips and updates as to how that interview went and the information that she was able to share with us. But let's get into the food drive that we have going on now. The food drive is a partnership between the Tampa Bay Immigrant Solidarity Network and the Church of the Trinity MCC. As part of this drive, we are collecting non-perishable foods. We are collecting things like rice, beans, oil, salt, sugar, cereals, oatmeal, pasta, peanut butter and jelly, because who doesn't like a good peanut butter and jelly sandwich? Hot dogs, chips. We are also collecting baby wipes and diapers, particularly diapers size 3 to 7, as well as household items, body wash, dish soap, laundry detergent, toothpaste, toilet paper, paper towels, and also feminine hygiene products. If you are able to donate, whether that is non-perishable or give a monetary donation, please drop off your donations at the Church of the Trinity MCC. You can drop off donations on Sunday between 9 and 1 p.m. and also Monday through Thursday between 9 and 5 p.m. Now, if you are not able to bring non-perishables, you can also give a monetary donation. You can go to the website of Church of the Trinity MCC. In the top right-hand corner, click on the donate button that's there, and then select as a fund Food for Our Neighbors, and your donation will go directly to this project where we are feeding immigrant families. This food drive is to collect essential items for local immigrant families and individuals in need. And as you know, every donation brings us closer to building a hunger-free future. From my personal experience, I can tell you that there is a lot of need in our communities. Many of the immigrant families that are here in the Minnesota area, regardless of immigration status, have been impacted by the attacks from the Trump administration and from the DeNaxi administration, aka our governor administration, and the attacks that they have ongoing on immigrant families.
Okay, well, that's all the negative stuff about your story, your journey. Let's talk about the positive stuff. When you got to Mexico City and saw your grandparents, how did you feel?
So my aunt, she's the one that picked me up from the airport. We were on the phone and she's like, "What are you wearing?" And I said, "I'm wearing an orange shirt. It's my uniform." And then she was with my cousin. my little cousin that I saw her in pictures, but it was my first time seeing her, meeting her. And then I saw her walking with my cousin, and we just run, you know, together and hug and started crying. Because the last time she saw me, I was just a little girl. I was just 12 years old, and I was really close to that aunt. Like, we were really close. She would do my hair. She would do my she's like my favorite aunt. And seeing her and her seeing me, how I'm not a child anymore, it was beautiful. Like, we started crying. We hugged each other. Meeting my cousin, it was really beautiful.
And they took you to your grandparents on your father's side's house.
Yes.
Okay. How did they react to your arrival?
My grandmother had a dinner, like a special dinner for me. My cousins were there. Some of my cousins, some of my aunts, not everyone was there, but she made a special dinner for me, like a whole dinner. And at night, she also made like dessert, hot chocolate. It was like a welcome party.
The only people who weren't there was your immediate family in Florida.
Yes.
But you did get to speak to them on the phone.
Yes.
How do you feel being in this family reunion without your immediate family?
The next day, Sunday, my family made another surprise party for me, which was, there was most of my family there. So the first one, when I first got there, it was just like a small dinner. But the next day, they make a big surprise party for me, where my friends and almost all my family were there. I even got mariachi. And I had my parents on a video call the whole time. And I was very happy. I was very, very, very happy being with my family and being so loved, getting all that love, you know, from my family, that even though they didn't see me in so much time ago, they still love me as I remember. And I was on a video call with my parents, and I just started crying. And they started crying too, because they knew I was free, and they knew I was happy, and they made it possible, but they were not there with me. So I was happy, but not completely happy, because they were not there. And still trying to process that we're not together. It's still, you know, it's tough.
How much do you miss your friends in Florida? How much do you miss Florida itself?
I do miss Florida a lot. The beach, the weather. I know it was hot all the time, but I like it.
Okay.
My work.
So when will you be reunited with your Florida family?
I hope soon. I really hope soon. Now that we are, the thing is that we have never been apart. So now with all of this happening, I know my family wants to come back for us to be together again and be reunited with our family, with her parents, with her siblings.
Well, the question then, where would you be together? Ruth indicated that the family has discussed this and that the family has decided to self-deport themselves to Mexico and join you in Mexico. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, they want to join me in Mexico.
So when do you think that might happen? Is there a lot of financial issues and issues about packing and moving out and all that that's going to get in the way of an immediate reunion?
Maybe in a year.
A whole year.
They're going to make now they want to make everything possible and for them to move here, me.
So your family's going to take up stakes, leave the United States, a country that they've worked in for all these years, have paid taxes in, and basically said, this, we do not like what's happened to our daughter. We will voluntarily leave, as a number of other undocumented in the United States have done. It's kind of sad, isn't it, that this is how it's come down, what it's come down to?
It is. It's really, really sad, and it's happening to a lot of families. As I said, when I was detained, I heard a lot of really sad stories about families getting separated, women separated from their childs, from their husbands, everyone getting arrested, and they don't want to be here. They don't want to be here anymore, especially, you know, with all of this happening to me. My parents don't want to be, they don't want to be there anymore. Always, you know, living under the shadows and being afraid of get arrested. I don't want them to go through that. I don't want anybody to go through the same thing that happened to me. And I always tell my mom, like, I know, you know, if you want to stay there, but I don't want them to be there. And I know they don't want to be there anymore. It's working. You know what they're doing? It's really working, because a lot of families are afraid to live here. And they just want to go back.
Can I ask you a general question? It's been about an hour and a half now. I do appreciate your time. So what is your immediate and long-term plans, Maria? Where do you plan to live? Do you plan to stay with your grandparents for a while? What type of work will you seek? I'm assuming you're going to try to find a job. But are you legally employable in Mexico under the circumstances? Are you, in fact, a Mexican citizen at this point? Or an American? Yeah. Well, you're not an American citizen, so... And Trump says you're a Mexican citizen. So is that correct, or are you in a limbo situation, a woman without a country?
Yes, I am a Mexican citizen. And now that I'm here in my country, I'm legally employed, and I'm able to apply to different colleges now. I'm able to look for any job that I want with no restriction. So I have a lot of plans, a lot of projects. It feels good, you know, be able to do all this stuff that I was not able to do there. And that I always wanted it. I always wanted to find an opportunity to get a good job there, to apply to different colleges, but I was not able to because I had no social security number. I was not able to apply for scholarships. And here, seeing all these opportunities, it feels unreal.
Okay. You have papers now. You probably don't have a passport yet, but you will be able to get a passport to get a driver's license in Florida, in Mexico. Congratulations on that.
I mean,
watch out for those U-turns.
I will.
Okay, but you, so you're legal, and you can apply for a job in Mexico to get you started. Anyway, are you going to stay with your grandparents for a while?
Yes, for now, yes.
Okay.
So until I figure what to do and learn how to be by myself, because the streets, everything is really different. And I need to learn how to take the public bus, you know, like transport. And I don't know, I'm still trying to get to used to the life here in Mexico, because everything is completely different. And it's just always a remember, but now I had to learn how to be by myself, how to move and... Yeah, get used to the life in here by itself.
What kind of you do you? What college did you go to again?
State College of Florida.
State College of Florida. You have a bachelor's from there?
I've been an AS, an associate's.
So that's a 2-year college.
Yes.
Okay, so you have an associate's degree.
Yeah, I wanted to continue in a 4-year college, but I was not able. So now that I'm here, I want to go to a different college. Well, I've been considering different careers. I really want to study a different career.
So what kind of, what do you want to study now?
So I want to go to aviation school.
I'm sorry?
Aviation school in Mexico.
Aviation school. You want to be a pilot?
Yes.
No kidding. I was an aviation writer for 50-some years, 50,000 in aviation safety. So you want to be a, you'd like to possibly go to an aviation school?
Yes. Always did since I was there, like 2 years ago, I talked to my mom about that I wanted to go to aviation school. And I was considering going there, but the school was very expensive. I was considering in moving here in Mexico City to start that career. But now with everything, that happened, now I'm able to do that.
But immediately, do you think you might dust off your uniform from the restaurant in Northport and get a job in the food industry just to get you started?
Yes, I was thinking about that. I was also looking for a few good opportunities in Mexico City where I can use the language.
I got one more question, which I think is the million-dollar question. Do you ever plan or do you ever intend to return to the United States to live?
I will, but in the future, not now. And if I do, I want to be legally. If I'm not planning to move there.
You're not planning to cross the Rio Grande?
Yeah, no, not anymore.
You never did it the first time, did you?
Yeah, because I don't want to go through that again. So if I, in the future, if I decide to move there, I want to be legally.
And based on your self-deportation hearing, you have the right to apply to come back to the United States. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, well, that opens up some options for you, doesn't it?
Yes. I'm very lucky because I got the voluntary release and I'm able to get like a work permit, or if I want to see like that doesn't affect me.
So how do you feel about starting your new journey? A journey which you did not plan for when you were getting your diploma at the State College of Florida and looking forward to more starting a career or going to another college, perhaps University of Florida, in the months coming up, and all of a sudden you're now in Mexico.
It was a big change. It changed my whole life, and I never thought I was gonna go through that. I never thought of that. And at the beginning, I thought it was all over. I thought I didn't know what was going to happen to me. I thought my life was over. But then when I got all this support and I started, I started to understand and mentalize myself, I realized that my life was not over yet. That I have another opportunity. And I'm actually excited to be here in my country and start a new journey.
You said my country. You consider Mexico your country or the United States your country?
My country, Mexico.
Mexico is your country.
Yeah, as soon as I got here, and all the people talked to me and feel very welcome, I felt like I belong here.
Well, we miss you in our country, my country, the United States of America. And you've had it's a fascinating story that you've told us. I do appreciate your time.
It was not fair. I know I committed a crime, not driving without a driver's license, but I did it out of necessity. I had always been very dependent and responsible, a very responsible person. And the reason why I started driving was because I had started college and I was working at the same time. So I had to find a way to get around. In all the years I live in Florida, I always try to be a good citizen by working hard, being a good student, having a good credit, pay taxes, pay my insurance. And when I was first arrested, there were girls in my cell who were held for drug use, for driving drunk, for domestic violence, and they were all released. They were all released, and I was held for over 48 hours to be handed over ICE. And then on the day of my court, three guys with red uniform, with felonies, with DUIs, were released on bond. And mine was denied because I was a threat for the society for driving without a driver's license.
This was
So,
for the Avaya detention, right? Okay.
so I don't think it was fair at all. I think I deserve an opportunity. I feel like we deserve an opportunity. People like us should be given the opportunity to stay in the country. However, they force us to separate from our families, just like as I was in the detention center. As I said, there were so many innocent girls separated from their families. And they all come here looking for the American dream, and their only crime was not having a legal status. I think the country is losing something. That's good people. Good citizens, hard workers who have been here, who have contributed to the country for so many years and have so much to contribute to, not just individuals, but entire families. The United States is not what it used to be now. I want to thank you guys so much for all of this you guys are doing. It really means so much for me, and I know for a lot of people too that are going through the same thing. And I really hope this helps in some type of way, because it's not just happening to me, but everyone, and it's really sad. And we all deserve an opportunity. Let people, know about this, that make conscience about what is happening.
I'm noticing, Maria, that people who leave, because I have other friends that have left, people that were really good members of our communities who have left, and they have found the same thing you found. They found that freedom, not living in the dark, and they are happy. And I'm glad that you are open to at least experiencing some of that. And you and my mom, your mom and I were talking, and we talk and we cry together, and then we laugh together. And we were laughing at one point because we said, watch what Lulu is gonna do. Lulu's gonna go to Mexico, and Lulu's gonna become a pilot, and Lulu's gonna have a good life for Mexico, not for the United States. And that's gonna be the best revenge. We were like, you see, because your mom has told me so much about how you are and how hardworking and dedicated you are to your goals and your dreams. And we were laughing about that. We were like, you see, my Lulu's gonna be a pilot. She's gonna come back. She's gonna come to the United States just to fly in and be like, see ya, bye. So I really wish that for you. And I'm glad that your heart is open to finding happiness outside of the United States. I think we all need to. It's a lot of suffering here, and it's so unfair, you know, for people that just dedicate their lives to working day in and day out. It's wrong. It's very wrong. So the best revenge will be you and your family being happy outside of, sometimes I say outside of this shithole, because the shithole is here. But I don't say that in public. I just say that, you know, to myself. But I really, that's what I really hope for you. And I know that your mom is preparing, because she told me, she said she can't live without you. She said, I can. And maybe when we talk to help, she'll share this with you, Ramon and Nancy, because, you know, her and I have a lot of time alone on the phone. So she shared with me that now she understands what her own mother may have been going through, not seeing her for so many years. And she just said, I don't know how she could do it, but I can't live without Lulu, and I can't live without my daughter here, my son here, so I can't leave them either. And her goal is, like, by any means necessary, this family is going to be reunited soon. So I'm really looking forward to that, to when you are. And it just warmed my heart to see the videos and, you know, everything that she has been sharing with me. Like, I've seen your whole journey, and it's been just so wonderful to be able to be a fly on the wall in a way, you know, because your mom allowed me to. But do know that we talk about you. We miss you. We think about how you are, and other people do. Every time somebody sees me, the first thing they say, how's Maria? What happened to Maria? How's Maria? So I report to everybody. And when I tell them that you were leaving, they were very destroyed. And we just, you know, we push your fundraiser a little harder so that you can have a little, so that your mom could accommodate everything that she did and all that. But a lot of people think of you. And there's other women who are as young as you who are very hurt, because they see themselves in you. They know that this can happen to them too. So they also ask me for you, because, you know, it's kind of like keeping an eye on you to see how you are doing, because they cannot see themselves in that situation. But I'm glad that you are doing well and that you are open to, you know, your life got reconfigured, and I know in my heart that you're going to make the best of it. Yeah.
I will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry, I get emotional. It's been so emotional for me with your mom, you know.
Thank you so much. I know you've been, like, a lot of support for her.
Mm-hmm.
And having someone, you know, especially for her when she was going through all that, I'm sure that helped her a lot.
Yeah. She was devastated. Like, a piece of her just died when they took you. It's been very rough on her. She plays tough for you, though. So she'll say, I had to stop crying because she called, you know, things like that. So, and I know you were doing the same thing for her, probably, right? I told her that. I said, I bet you Lulu's playing hard for you, too.
Yeah. Well, I'm like, no one can cry because she's going to think I'm sad, I'm bad.
Mm-hmm.
Not for her. And every time I was on the phone with her, like, I could listen in her voice, you know, noticing her voice, but I was trying, and I know she was too.
Yeah. But you'll be together real soon. You'll be together real soon. Yeah. And I think it's going to go well. She's trying to plan everything. It's, you know, so it's not just leaving, but, like, having a little bit of a plan. So hopefully that makes a difference. Yeah. I hope to meet you one day. I can come to Mexico.
Yes.
We'll see. We'll take a chance whenever is necessary, you know, a good chance.
We will.
Yeah. But thank you so much. I look forward to giving you a big, big hug. And, you know, I look forward to see what you do and how you make something good out of all of these terrible things that have happened to you lately.
Yes. Thank you. And I'm very positive. I'm looking forward. I know, you know, I went through a bad moment, but God was very good to me, and I know He has a bigger plans for me. Mm-hmm. One of the girls told me, Lulu, I don't know why you're so worried. She said, United States is not, see, it's not just United States. You can travel to your country. You can do more stuff.
And then she said to me, I don't think God is going to put you. And then she said to me,
I don't think God is going to put you in a, like, if you are in a good position, I don't think he's going to take